Bible reads this morning, St. John 13, 12 through 15. The Bible reads, "For so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Supporting scripture, St. Matthew 7 and 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." On the basis of those verses this morning, look to your neighbor and ask them this question: what would Jesus do? God is a mighty good God this morning, and I thank God for his mercy and his love. I thank God for allowing us this space and this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. We propose a question to you this morning. What would Jesus do? Hallelujah. We have a mind to do what we want to do, and a lot of times we find ourselves out of the will of God. But God, being a merciful and a loving God, has allowed us once again on this great Sunday to come together in this house of worship just to praise his holy and his righteous name. There is someone that has been waiting all week long just to get back into the house of the Lord. I know you had God with you all week long. I know you've been talking to him in the conference of your home, and you've been reading the Bible for yourself. But the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." So it is good for brothers and sisters to come together. David said on one occasion how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we ought to be unified. We ought to be on one accord at least every now and then. That there are going to be times in our lives when we're just not going to see eye to eye. There are going to be times when we even going to fall out. Anybody in here ever fell out with somebody? Sometimes your best friend, sometimes your loved one, sometimes your mate or companion. Everything just don't go smooth all the time. But the Bible also said, that's why I told you graduates to just read that Bible, because the Bible says that when confusion comes and when you meet these strangers that you don't know, and it takes a little time to get to know folk before you can actually get along. But the Bible says, reason ye one with another. So in other words, sometimes instead of always being the talker, you got to listen. And sometimes, you know, instead of always being the listener, you got to talk. You got to let people know whose side you're on. You got to let people know what you're feeling. We think that we are mind readers. We look at the expressions on faces and we began to think in our minds what is going on in their head. Can we do that? We do it, but can we do it? We and a lot of times there's some of us that are so convinced that I know what you're thinking that we'll take that and run and tell somebody else, and you don't even know what you're talking about. So you got to be very careful. Everything that come your way is not fact. There are some things that have been fabricated just for your entertainment, because some folk like to hear a whole lot of stuff. And then there are those that don't want to hear sound doctrine. There are those that don't want you to tell them the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. There are those that don't want you to tell them that even though you may not like me, I'm going to love you anyhow. See, that's the kind of spirit that children of God have to have. A loving spirit despite of. Despite the fact of what you think about an individual, God is still going to be God. Our covenant states that as baptized believers, we are led by God agreeing one with another that he is Lord of Lords. He is our personal Savior this morning. And without him, we could not have our being. Without the Lord this morning, we would not be able to move. And we wouldn't know love or peace or happiness. But we must serve God that loved us to the point that he allowed his only begotten Son in the persons of Jesus Christ to come into this world in the flesh and then to die and save us from ourselves. See, some of us got to be saved from yourself. So a lot of things that we go through sometimes, we bring upon ourselves. And we be looking for some fault. We be looking for somebody to blame. But when reality is told, if you really come to the truth of the matter, you are where you are because of you. Now, there are some things in life that you have no control of, that God will allow to happen in your life. And it's not because he loves you any less than he loves the next brother or sister. It's not because of anything that you've done in your life, but God knows that you are a stronger individual than what you think. Or God also knows that he need to help you get strong. Because a lot of time, unless you go through something, then you don't call on God. And after you go through, then you know that there was a God on your side. How many of you know that God does hear and answer prayer? See, it's one thing to pray to God, but you got to believe that what you're asking him to do, God is going to do. Now, one thing is for sure. He might not come in your own time, but somebody told me that he is an on-time God. Somebody told me that he will come in on time. Any believers in the house? Our children need to know this morning that when it comes to God, he can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord this morning. And our children got to know that. Our children got to be able to know that with God, they can do some things in their life. We got to let them know that God's love extends beyond measure. And no matter where in life they go or what they have done, God will always be there. You know, when you think of it like that, and you think about where you was and where you've been, and some of the situations that you can get yourself into, and then you realize that God is watching me. Everywhere you are, God watches you. Every thought that you have. So you got to be careful. Not so much everything that you say, but you got to be careful what you think. You know how we do sometimes. We look at folk and we smile. But yet in our minds, we thinking some terrible things. And I believe that that's why the Bible said that try the spirit by the spirit. Whole lot of stuff can come out your mouth. But if it's not in your heart, a believer or a one that has the discernment of spirits will feel where you're coming from. So now be careful when you try to fool folks. We grew up saying that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God anytime. Anybody believe that this morning? Now, I'm going to move along, but I'm tired. That's why I'm taking my time this morning. But one thing I find this morning is that when we talk about knowing Jesus, we got to have more than just a zeal of God. We need to have a personal experience with God, which will put you in fellowship and then cause you to have a personal relationship with God. Now, go with me. It's good to be able to say, Mama prayed for me. But it's a better thing to be able to say, I'm praying for myself. Mama, don't stop praying. But I learned to pray for myself. The Bible says that King Solomon tells us in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of thy getting, get an understanding. Now, sometimes you won't get an understanding if you just hear and not listen. You see, a lot of times when people are talking to you, you hear them talking, but your comprehension is not working because you're not really trying to hear what they're saying. Or you're preoccupied with other thoughts or other situations, and you hear them, but you're thinking about something else, and something leaves you. I asked a young lady last evening, she was sharing me about her accomplishments in getting the BA degree, and she talked about that degree, and I said, well, what's your name? And she told me her name, and I stepped off, and I had to step right back. I said, nah, what'd you say? I remember Reed, but I don't remember the other part. And the reason why was because I wasn't taking time out to really listen to what she was saying. I was concerned enough to actually go by and see what she had to say. But you got to take time to listen. When you're in the house of God, you're not here to be entertained. You are here to hear what thus said the Lord thy God. And now in our church and with our styles, we sort of do a little energetic type preaching. And you're going to go some places where the man or the woman of God is merely just a teacher. They're not going to raise their voice and holler. They're not going to jump around like I jump around. But what they're saying is just as important, and you must listen to what's being said. Religion got to be more than emotion. Music can inspire us to move. But when you get deep enough in the Word of God to where just reading the words will make tears run from your eyes. Just reading the words. Sometimes, have you ever read the Bible and chill bumps just get all over your body? That tells you that you are receiving something. And then every now and then you read something that you thought you already knew. And that particular day, a light clicked on the inside and you got the right understanding. In all of thy getting, King Solomon says, get an understanding. So now, if we want to do things like Jesus, we got to know him. Jesus taught the disciples, and in John 13 and 7, he says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Which is another way of saying, the way that we say it sometimes, we shall understand it better by and by. So you see, as we go through the trials of life, many times we can't see or understand why we're where we are. We don't understand why we're going through the things that we are going through. But before you get overwhelmed with disgust and pity, understand that if the truth be told, many that are walking around you, they don't understand what they're going through. Don't let whatever you go through get you down to the point where you wallow in self-pity. Know that somebody else got just as many problems as you have. There's somebody just as sick or sicker than you are. And it's time as you learn people, learn how to really trust God. Trusting God is what it's all about, because when you trust him, you get to know him. And if you know him, then you're aware that God is a God without respect of persons. He blesses the just as well as the unjust. Another way to look at it is believing that if God has blessed you, why come he can't bless your brother or your sister? The Bible says that we need to remember the word of God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we got to learn how to let the Lord fight our battles. Too many of us are trying to fight the battle on our own. But now, as we look in the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, we find words of Jesus teaching the disciples as well as others how to deal with the things that you will encounter in life. Jesus deals in the 7th chapter with unjust criticism. We were taught as children that if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. A lesson that most of us did not learn. Or chooses not to follow through. Because a lot of us are quicker to say something bad or negative about somebody than to say something good. Some of us can hear somebody say something good about somebody and take it. Oh, let me find something I can tear up. They'll take it, tear it apart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's what folk will do. They'll criticize you. They'll judge you. But the Bible said, Jesus said, stop judging and you won't be judged. Surely if you see the mote in your brother's eye, which is just a splinter. I'm wondering how, if I can see a splinter in your eye, why I can't see around, I'm seeing around the log that's in my own eye. We can see that little fault in somebody else, but we fail to see what's going on in our own lives. Man's relationship with God is always a basics to his relationship to his fellow man. We got to learn how to treat others in the same manner in which we want to be treated. We understand this morning that everybody wanted to be treated nice, but if you want to be treated nice, treat somebody nice. In order for us to do things God's way, we got to learn how to love from in our hearts. Jesus commanded us, love ye one another as I have loved you. And I wonder how many of you have the love of Jesus down on the inside. Are you really ready to love God and to be a servant for the Most High God? We got to follow the example of Jesus. We got to know that we can be more like him if we would trust him. We can't be stuck up on our own selves. We got to know God to be a real God. You got to be able to go to the word of God. And the Bible says, after you pray to God, if you pray to him, ask him for what you want. And anything you ask God, God will give you if it's in his will. We got to understand that as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we know God to be the master teacher, then we got to learn how to humble ourselves down at his feet. The Bible said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. See, we got to understand this morning that it's not all about you, but it's about the power of God that works in you. I know this morning that I'm blessed by the best, but I'm one that have come a mighty long way. I realize that I hadn't dotted every I, crossed every T. I realize that there are times when I don't know what I'm going to do. But in those times, I learn how to talk to the Lord our God. You see, if you get an understanding of who God is, you'll begin to wonder exactly who you are. When I think about who God is this morning, I find him to be the master teacher. And God tells us in this text this morning that we got to learn how to do things his way. What would Jesus do? Well, we got to learn how to humble ourselves. The Bible said that in this time that we're living in, we know that we're going through. But if you look in the word of God, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then will I heal their land, I'll forgive their sins. You see, if you want forgiveness this morning, you got to learn how to forgive somebody. You got to learn how to call on the Lord thy God. They might judge you on one side or on the other side. But as long as you know that you're a child of the Almighty King, God will make a way out of no way. I see Jesus now in the 13th chapter. God had so much love for the disciples. He loved them beyond measure. He loved them with all of his heart. He realized that I'm soon going to leave you. But before I leave you, I got to get you in check. I got to let you know you can't do things any kind of way. I got to let you know it's not all about you. I know that you're a disciple and you're one to carry the gospel. See, brother preachers and sister preachers, we got to understand this morning that even though God blessed us to be preachers, we got to understand that we are nothing but servants of the Most High God. The disciples, they were teachers of God's word, but they felt like we need to have special treatment. They felt like everybody ought to serve us. But I found that if you're going to be a true servant of the Lord, you got to learn how to be a servant of God. You can't wait on nobody to serve you. That's why when Jesus looked at the disciples, he said, I got to teach you one more thing. I got to teach you how to humble yourself. You call me master teacher, and I am your master teacher. I am the lily of the valley. I am the one that died for your sins. I am the one that'll do anything that needs to be done. But I am the Lord thy God. I am a servant of the high God, and I got to learn how to teach you how to humble yourself before the people of God. The Bible says that he sat there with the disciples. He took off of his robe. The Bible says he set it off to the side. He picked up a towel, poured water in the basin. He said, now I'm going to wash your feet. You see, the Bible says that those that washed the feet, they were the lowest servant in the house. There was somebody that had a low degree. Somebody in here might feel the least. But I want you to know the least can be the greatest. Don't let nobody fool you. If you are a child of God and you know God for yourself, all you got to do is trust God. When I look at the example of Jesus Christ, you know, some of us think that we are too much this and that. And old Peter came back and said, oh, Lord, you can't wash my feet because you are the master. You are my teacher. And I don't want you humbling down to wash my feet. But the Lord tells Peter, if I can't wash your feet, then you can't have no parts of me. So in other words, unless you get the Spirit of God on the inside, God won't have no part of you. God wanted Peter to know, Lord, if I wash your feet, everything is going to be all right. But Peter came back and said, oh, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but wash my whole body. Anybody want to be washed? Anybody in the house this morning? Do you want to be washed by God? The Bible says that when he began to wash their feet, that the disciples felt like that they had had special treatment. But then God came back and let them know, I've washed your feet. You know who I am. I humbled myself as a servant. And then likewise, you got to do the same thing. For I have given you an example. The same thing that I did unto you, you got to do unto somebody else. You ought to wash one another's feet. Well, I wonder this morning, if I stopped by this morning and tried to wash somebody's feet, they probably tell me, I don't want you touching my feet. Anybody in here like that? And then there might be some feet in the house that I don't want to touch, no way. But because of the Spirit of God, God will tell you it's not all about you, but you got to do what I tell you to do. For if I'm Jesus and I can sit down and wash your feet, then you ought to be able to wash somebody else's feet. Now, why was foot washing so important in that time? You got to understand they walked around with sandals on. It was hot and it was dusty. You know how it is when you go to somebody's house and it's dinner time. Don't come in there all dirty and nasty. In their custom, you had to wash your feet before you came in and sat down around the table. Before Jesus got ready to give them that supper, he said, you're not clean enough to sit down and eat with me. I gotta wash your feet. And after I wash your feet, we can sit down and dine together. I'm reminded when the Bible tells us that they walked all through the land, you ought to know how to treat somebody. When somebody came to your house, it was the lowest servant in the house's job to wash that guest's feet. Well, don't you want to be somebody that might have a little higher degree? So that's why God let them know that it doesn't make no difference how high you are. Doesn't make no difference how prestigious you are. You might be all of that in man's eye, but unless you can humble yourself down enough to wash somebody's feet, you just don't know what you're missing this morning. The Bible tells me to ask you the question this morning, what would Jesus do? I know what I would do. I want to be more like Jesus. I know what the Lord would do. The Lord will humble himself down. The Lord will do what nobody else can do. But when I think about this old life of mine, John, I come from a mighty long way. I come from a group of family that learn how to love one another. I've come from a family that on Sunday afternoon, we visit the elders in the family. You know, you got to go back to checking on one another and let them know that we are family and family love one another. You ought to look at that brother or sister beside you. That's your family this morning. Love your brother. Love your sister. Treat them like you want to be treated. That is the golden rule. And if the rule is golden, it ought to be valuable. If it's golden, there's something to it. And the Bible says, the golden rule, whatsoever you do unto them, do ye also unto me. You see, we got to understand this morning that we got to do what God would have us to do. And then you got to know that when situations arise, it's not what you gonna do, but what would Jesus do? You see, what you might do, you might close the door in their face. But what would Jesus do? Just last evening, about 1:30, something to 2 this morning, my doorbell rang. And when I got to the door, the individual said, I need something to drink, and I need somewhere to lay my head. Well, now, me, I was already geared up. I don't want that mess tonight. But I'd already been studying. I'd already got the message. And after, I said, come on in. Gave him something to drink and gave him somewhere to lay down. And after that, I was reminded that's what Jesus would do.